The big he is a human, but the big he is attracted to feminine sexual energy more than anything. Just look at the billions of dollars that are spent to feel and see feminine sexual energy in magazines and movies, prostitution. Men will often ruin their entire lives. Well, look at President Clinton, Monica Lewinsky. I mean, what's... what was he thinking? Men will forfeit everything for radiant feminine sexual energy. Everything. Their career, the country. I mean, it's just like, you know, men will give it all up. Their family that they love, the woman that they love, all the money they've made, their presidential situation. I mean, he knew that if he was caught, something was going to happen. I mean, he's not an idiot, you know, but it was worth it. It was worth the risk because there is nothing more valuable to the masculine on earth than feminine sexual energy. And I'm talking about, in this workshop, third stage feminine sexual energy. If you're at a first stage man, then there's nothing more valuable than first stage feminine energy, so you go pay some prostitute to fuck you. But if you're a third stage man, that's useless. Why would paying someone to fuck you without that depth of devotion? You might as well just jerk off in a hole in the wall or something. I mean, but there are traditions of paying third stage women as temple dancers, usually is how they usually occurred, that were practiced 10 hours a day doing yoga and dance, whose bodies were so open that having sex with them was a mystical experience, was a divine experience. And in those cultures, you know, those women were given everything, you know, silk and diamonds, and were totally taken care of because they can open men to God through sex. And those women only would do it with men who were great practitioners. I mean, anyone else, it was just like throw pebbles at them. So maybe after some guy's practiced for 20 or 30 years, and he comes on his knees to the temple, and you look at this guy and you think, poor guy, one fuck, and I could have saved him a decade. There's a tradition for that, just like there's a tradition for first stage sexual transfer, which is prostitution. There's a third stage tradition, not in our culture. Well, you know, the United States is a couple hundred years old. We haven't had time to develop that. But in any culture that's been around for a few thousand years, India, Japan, China, Islamic cultures, all kinds of cultures that have been around for thousands of years intact. Most of them are no longer intact, so it doesn't exist anymore. But while they were intact, there were men and women who were recognized as third stage practitioners that you can go to and be initiated by them. And so young boys were taken to these women and young girls were taken to these men. And so their first sexual experiences were divine initiations. And then instead of our culture, where like you get it in the back seat of a car and everyone's confused and you spend the rest of your life trying to get rid of the kinks you've acquired, you start off with what you're doing now. So you can just continue that now. Offer him your devotion to evoke his consciousness. And that's an artful thing, when to give him Kali, because he needs to be kind of slapped and woken up, and when, even when he's not woken up, he'd be more opened by the devotion of his depth. You have to feel that. It's an art. I couldn't tell you. You have to feel it in the moment. Sometimes you going, ah, would bring him to presence, and sometimes you going, ah, oh, just like you just did, would bring him to presence more. And you have to feel, which opens him more, and offer him both, never tolerating less than you feel he's capable of. And he's capable of a lot, isn't he? I mean, that's why you're with him. He wants you to do that, even though he'll complain, just like you want him to open you, even though you'll complain, and that's the way it is. So did that answer your question on how to open him? Any other questions? Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the significance of conferring with your friends about who to choose as an intimate partner?
Well, it's especially important for women to ask their women friends, because women are incredibly sensitive to integrity. And it just happens that when a woman falls in love, her integrity meter breaks. And you constantly find women in love with total losers, and all their friends know it. Takes them a few years to realize it. But if their friends would only from the beginning have just said, this guy's a loser, you know, I love you, but this isn't the guy to trust with your life. Now, men are in general so insensitive that they're going to be just checking her out, you know, like,
she looks good to me,
kind of thing. Now, it's still important. I check everything out with my men friends, everything, not just picking an intimate partner or something, but basically every decision I make that has any consequence at all, I check out with my men friends, because I just know that I can't see myself as clearly as they could see me. And they could see my bullshit, and I can't. That's the way it is. It's like your eye, you'll never see your own eye. You'll see a reflection of it in a mirror, which is like your friends being a mirror, but you can't. Your eye's your eye. You can't see your eye with your eye. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the same way, you can't, if you are full of shit and coming from that place, you can't see it, because that's where you're coming from, just like your eye can't see itself. But everyone else can see it. And so I would check with my men friends about everything. You know, like, everything. How I'm teaching, what I'm doing with my woman, where I'm going to live. Are you in a relationship? Do you want to be? Are you asking so you pick the right woman?
Yeah, well, in your book, you talked about the dangers of picking someone who reminds you of your parents and wasting years of your life.
Well, you're going to do that in any case, unless you just get an arranged marriage or something. Pick a woman who inspires you to give your deepest gift. And then give it to her.
Well, if she did inspire me that way, I don't know whether I'd bother checking it out with my buddies.
Well, if she was really inspiring her, your buddies better be feeling that in you. If you go, God, she inspires me, and they're going like, you've been a wreck for the last 3 months. Ever since you've met her, you feel weak, closed down, and stupid. If you got that feedback, you may want to reassess what you consider inspiration. But if you find a woman and you feel she inspires you, and you go to your men friends and you say, you know, ever since I've met this woman, I really feel inspired. I feel like I'm giving more of myself to everyone. How do you guys feel? And they go, yeah, we feel that too. It's amazing. That's probably a good choice. That's what I mean about checking with your friends. The key, I'll give you another key. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I wish I never had to say or write anything, because it's all a lie at some level. I mean, it's all there to transcend. So it's like, as soon as I say something, immediately it's obsolete, but that's the way it goes. If you feel like this is the special woman, like this is the one, you have that feeling, I would bet you a lot of money that that's someone who has the negative characteristics of your parents. And eventually, you're going to feel her not loving you in the same ways you either felt or imagined your parents not loving you. If you meet a woman, you do not fall in love. You get to know each other. A couple months, years down the line, you realize you're really serving each other, but you've never fallen in love. That's the one to marry. Now, you're not going to do that, so it's kind of ridiculous for me to say. Because you're going to wait to find the one, get all jolly about it, walk on clouds for a while, have great sex. Oh, my God. Raise your hand if you've ever done that and it's all fallen to shit. Okay, so join the club. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's just, I don't know, non-aesthetically pleasing. Do you have a woman in mind that you're kind of comparing these things to? Did you fall in love with her in the way?
No.
Yes. Yeah. So it's too late already. The question's worthless. Good luck. It's still the same practice. Now you'll just have to deal with her seemingly not loving you in the way your parents denied you love. What did you always want from your parents and never got? What would you tell me is the answer to that question? Just what did you always want from your parents and never got? The single thing that comes to you first. Okay, so somewhere along the line, you're going to feel she's not touching you physically enough. Has it happened yet? Okay, so sometime along the line, you're going to feel like she's not being physically affectionate enough with you. And the moment you feel that, remember this moment and laugh. And realize that all you could do in that moment is give her what you've been waiting your parents to give you. Give her physical affection. So I'm going to repeat that. I pray to God you remember it. But in the moment where you feel her withholding her physical affection, give her physical affection. Do not wait to receive it. It'll never feel like it's enough eventually in the end. I mean, a month is nothing, but wait for 10 years or something. Give her physical affection in the moment that you are waiting to receive it. That's how you transcend the wounds of your childhood. Give what you're waiting to receive, and in that moment, you've transcended them. Now, you have to persist doing that as a practice. You're dying to be touched, and instead of, you don't touch me, hey, look, we need to talk, you're not touching me enough, you just touch her with as much love as you can, even if she is refusing you.
I've been having trouble surrendering to men in my life because of trust, and I want to learn how to surrender more. Can you suggest any practices that would help me?
Is there a part, you may not trust me, I mean, I wouldn't trust me if I were you, but is there a part of me that seems trustable to you? I mean, to me, there's a part of everyone that's trustable. It might just be a little tiny part, but there's a part of everyone that's trustable. Can you feel any part of me that's trustable? Or is there nothing in me that's trustable? Okay, so I'm giving you a practice. You asked for something. I'm going to give it to you. As you sit here, worship that part of me by internally saying, claim me and take me open to God. Beg that part of me to claim you and take you open to God silently. So just offer me the attitude, that part of me, wherever, however you feel that. So just say silently, claim me and take me open to God. Well, you feel a little different right now, yes? Now a man who is worthy of guiding your life would walk into your life. Before, you would have been kind of repulsive to him, you know, like, you're good at taking care of yourself. So now look at the guy right behind you. Just turn to him. He's right behind you. Find the part of him that's trustable. Again, it might be a little small part. And offer yourself to him. Silently say, claim me and take me open to God, to that part in him. And sir, raise your hand if you feel attracted to her when she does it. Okay. Now pick some man in the audience, doesn't matter if he's married or not, someone who you would trust, just intuitively. I mean, you're not going to marry him. Just look around the room, someone you could see. Pick Mr. Big Dick. Everyone likes him. Okay, look at him and feel, claim me and take me open to God. Sir, do you feel her opening to you? Is it attractive? Would you be moved to open her to God if she was available and you were available? Okay. Now offer it even more. Silently just beg to be open to God by his deepest heart. Can you feel that, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel it?
Yeah, I can feel it, but I have another question.
Yeah, but you're doing the thing that you want advice about. Well, that's all you need to do. You're already pushing away the masculine advice in your life.
Is that how I should behave in business?
No, it's how you should behave with men who you want to attract into your life so you don't have to be so tired guiding yourself. In business, you should kick ass like any guy. I thought you were talking about intimacy. So when you're with a potential man, like you're dating him, testing him out, seeing if he's trustable, offer your affirmation to the part of him that is trustable. In fact, the way you would become more attractive to such a man, let's say you're walking down the street here at Brighton Bush. There's all these guys walking around, right? They're all schmoes. You don't want to marry any of them. But still, part of them is trustable. There's a part of, like I could say to you, I might not marry you as an individual if I knew everything about you, but there's a part of you that's incredibly radiant and open and delicious. So I could feel that part and worship that part in you, right? Well, the same way, as you're walking around Brighton Bush when you drive home, every man you walk by, without even looking at them, just feel yourself feeling the trustable part in them and say silently, claim me open to God. 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 Just offer yourself to be claimed open to God by the trustable part of every man. And just as it did now, it changes the way you hold your body, the way you breathe, the expression on your face. All of that, it changes instantly to one of devotion. And that's the quality that attracts a third stage man. A third stage man is not interested in a woman who prefers to control her own life. Why would he be? If she could control her own life, why would he want to interfere? He would respect that and say, hey, you want to guide yourself? Good luck. That's all he has to offer you, is that depth of consciousness to open you. If you're already happy with the way it's working out, why would he want to be redundant? It's only if you want to be claimed deeper than you're able to claim yourself that he would want to step into your life to serve you. And he'll only do that if he feels your devotion open to that. And so you could silently and without any visual cues, as a practice for your own sake, offer that desire for claim to every man, to the part of every man that you would trust. Don't even look at them in the eyes. They don't know what's going on. You're practicing, so your body is walking around begging to be claimed. Your heart is open to be claimed. Your whole body is, claim me open to God. Claim me open to God. I'll take nothing less. Claim me open to God. Now, you go on a date with a man who's a potential partner. All through the date, you're looking into his eyes and feeling the trustable part of him. Claim me open to God. Fill me. Take me. Fuck me open. You're feeling that. You might just be saying, so the stock markets are down today. But inside you're saying, fuck me open to God. Take me. Please open me to God. And that's the gesture of your body that's offering his consciousness. And he will feel that. Did you feel that when she did it? Did you feel that? Men would feel that. It's incredibly attractive. They've been waiting for that all their life, just like you've been waiting for men worthy of your trust. Well, you attract that man by offering that devotion. If you wait, it'll never work, because the men who are worthy of that devotion don't want a woman who's waiting. They want a woman who's in devotional disposition now, who's discriminative, who's not with some jerk. She prefers being alone, but is begging to be open to God. She prefers being alone to being with some schmuck, but she wants to be open to God, and it shows. It shows in her face, it shows in her eyes, it shows in her breath, it shows in the way she moves, the way she moves the plate across the table, the way she just gestures. It's all, open me to God, open me to God. And then a man who could open you to God will go, wow, finally, a woman who wants the gift that I have to give. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? So you can practice that disposition silently, without anyone knowing what you're doing, all day, all the rest of today, with every man here. When you're driving your car, people are going vroom by you in the car. Fuck me open to God. Vroom. Fuck me open to God. Vroom. Just all day, your disposition, because you never know when you're going to meet the guy. He could be like pulling up to the light next to you in the car. And if you're in the like, well, we got to get to business, you know, you're like looking at him with your business face on, you know, and you look back, he's not going to notice. But if you're in the fuck me open to God, fuck me open to God, he'll go, excuse me. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's how you meet people. You never know when it's going to happen. The grocery store, you know, orange, fuck me open to God. Everything you're doing, if you're in that disposition, men will come out of the woodwork. Now, you'll have to say no to most of them because they won't be up to your standards, but the one who are will come to you. Again, that feminine devotion is the most powerful attractive force in the world to the masculine. If you're not with a man who you can trust, it's because you're not offering that devotion fully. That's the only reason. Okay? Does that answer your question? Yes? Our time is getting short. 5 more minutes, then we'll take a break, and then we'll be doing exercises till 10:30. Yes, sir. White shirt. Yeah.
After reading The Way of the Superior Man, try doing some of the, specifically how to break the addiction to ejaculation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're working on that. Now, the difficulty that I had, first of all, I found that when we were having sex and I wasn't ejaculating, I wouldn't have sex again the next night, and it was every night. It was great. The only problem is that when I'm focused on that, I find that it's very difficult to really ravish if I'm thinking about not ejaculating.
Well, that's because you're still beginning in the practice. It's like driving a car, and it, like I said, you know, at first you got it so much to pay attention to, it's difficult to have a conversation. Practicing to bypass external ejaculation is a whole art. It's like training for a marathon or learning to play golf or tennis. It's not something I can teach you in 5 minutes. but it's something that you could get better and better and better at with practice. So if you've read some of the books, and The Way of the Superior Lover goes into it more detail than The Way of the Superior Man. Okay. And there are also workshops and teachers who teach that. It's a very simple thing. Basically, you circulate your breath so the energy is moving down the front and up the spine.
You can feel down the front very well.
Well, you're a down person. That's what I was going to say next, is that people come in two forms when it comes to the what you're talking about, the energy motion. There's down people and up people. Look at my body and look at your body. Do you think that more of your energy is going down or more of your energy is going, It's going down. You're a down person. You're a good inhaler. You're a good incarnator. You have physical strength. You have a lot of sexual energy. And it's also going to make you want to ejaculate more because energy is going down. What that means is that you're going to have to practice hard moving the energy up. Now, I'm going to give you some techniques to do it. And then I'm going to tell you the real secret, but you have to do both. So you know the basic things. You contract the base of the body. You pull up. It's not just contraction. It's an upward tension. But you also have to practice feeling energy move up your spine. Now, at first, you're not going to feel anything. So to help that, you're going to roll your eyes up and imagine. Have you ever fainted or gotten faint, like stood up too fast?
Yeah.
You know, that's moving up the spine, that feeling. It's like leaving your body. So roll up your eyes and pretend you're fainting. Just do that right now. Okay? That's good enough. Now, exhale, contract the base of your body, pull up the base of your body as you exhale. Roll up your eyes and pretend you're fainting. Good. Now, do the same thing and hold the breath out until you're about to faint. So you go... You can close your eyes when you roll them up. It doesn't matter if they're open or closed. So exhale, contract the base of the body, and hold the breath out. So exhale, and then you don't breathe anymore. So you die if you didn't inhale. And keep it held out. Keep it held out. Keep it held out. Keep it held out. Now only inhale when you really have to. And when you inhale, open your eyes and look at me. Now, that would have stopped your ejaculation because your body just shuts down. I mean, you're about to die. It's not about to ejaculate. So the energy would go up. So what you really need to practice, so that's the technique to begin the energy moving up the spine. Eventually, you'll actually, and by eventually, it could be weeks, months, years. The more you have a very strong downward tendency, so it'll probably be years. Just like, I mean, if you were to say, I want to become a pro golfer, and I was going to be serious about how long it was going to take you, it's going to be a while, you know? I mean, even if you're Tiger Woods, it took a lot of time to practice. So it's going to take you a lot of time. But eventually, you'll actually have orgasms that shoot up your spine internally and explode outward and rain down in colors and bliss. And you could have as many of those as you want. But that's going to take you probably years of practice. But before that comes, you can practice what you just did tonight. And... do you have an intimate partner? Is that your intimate partner? She'll be, of course, totally bored and offended that you're making love and going, and so forth. And so in between those times, you really need to practice feeling into her heart and opening her sexually. Now, if you practice that well enough, you actually don't even have any attention on your body. You bypass ejaculation surely because all of your attention is in her body. You know, I've been talking about wearing her body, feeling inside of her body. We talked about Tai Chi, all of that. You have to practice that with her so fully that mostly you're feeling what's going on in her, not what's going on in you. And then you'll be able to direct the energies in her body with your breath, the way you move, just like Tai Chi, but by breathing with her, moving with her, thrusting in her differently, and so forth, all for her openness. Now, if you open her really well, she'll probably have orgasms, which will be so erotic to you that it'll make you want to come, and that's when you roll your eyes up and exhale and hold it out. She'll get a little upset that you're doing that in the moment of this beautiful thing, and you're doing this technique, but in the end, it'll pay off. And so come back, look right into her eyes, open her again, be totally present, feeling into her. Maybe 5 minutes go by or 3 minutes or whatever it is until you're approaching ejaculation again, and then practice again, exhale, look up, feel the energy moving up the spine, then come back to feeling into her. The main thing to practice, though, is opening her by feeling into her. It's the same question you asked before that push hands was the answer to. It's the same practice. Sex. If you practice sex well, the only reason to have sex is to open her. Because you can experience the same openness in your body through meditation, through yoga. You don't need somebody else to experience those blisses in your own body with practice. With practice, sex is like brushing your teeth or doing yoga or something. It's a practice that, in this case, it's a two-person practice, and you do it to open her. Now, she is built as a woman to receive masculine consciousness through the body. See, and this is the last thing I'll say before we take our break, and I hope someone gets this, but we'll see. As I've said, the masculine is at home in death, so you're most blissful at the edge of challenge. So you're going to get a lot more emotional at like the key moment of a Super Bowl than you are during lovemaking. I mean, how do you know what I'm talking about? You're going to be like, go, 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 this is killing me! I mean, you're going to be like totally emotionally involved in this thing. And during lovemaking, you might go like, oh! I hope I wasn't imitating you too accurately. But so you're at home in nothingness. And even in lovemaking, the reason ejaculation is so attractive when you're on the verge of ejaculating is because you'll get to nothing. I mean, the whole fucking thing lasts a few seconds, right? So it's like, oh! And finally, nothing. All day, you've been working. So it would all disappear. Do you know what I'm talking about? That bliss of nothingness? That's the masculine bliss, nothingness. But that's not the feminine bliss. The feminine bliss is fullness. So when you're... Shh, nothingness. She's, hello! You know, she... Hey! She wants fullness. She wants interaction. She wants sharing. She wants emotion. She wants fullness. It's just what you're done with, finally. She wants this flow. She wants connection, you know, and so forth. So eventually you come to realize that once you could experience that depth of nothingness without sex, so you could have post-orgasmic bliss just sitting there, by relaxing into death, which is, you know, in French they call orgasm petit mort, little death. To die totally right now is as blissful as it gets for the masculine. Now, you could do that through ejaculation, you could do that through watching sports, you know, and it's like right at the edge of death, and there's that, oh, you know, so, oh, finally, oh, and it's just the same kind of tension, build, oh, release, you know, it's this, all this tension, build, release, that's what the masculine enjoys, that nothingness, the victory, the emptiness, the success, and then you need it again. After a while, it's like, you got to figure out some other way, so you build a little trap to get out of so you can feel released again, a little crossword puzzle. Did it! You know, I mean, something. So you make $1 million, now it's got to be $2 million, you know, just so you can get out of the same trap over and over. You got to get out of the trap. That's not her way. Her way is to be filled with love. To have love fill her so fully, she's open to God against her will. To be forced open because she's so full of love and bliss. You're filling her so much. She's going, no, and you're going, yes. And she goes, yes, no, 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 yes, no, no. You're just opening her by filling her so much with your love. Also with your body if you're having sex. But it's you filling her that opens her, not you emptying. Now, it just so happens that if you come from that place of emptiness to begin with, so you approach, you have an erection, but you're totally empty of needing anything, and you're only having sex with her to open her to God. Didn't I tell you the story about falling asleep? Did I tell that the other day?
Yes.
Well, all you need to do is be that consciousness that's continuous through sleep and dreams and death, fill her with that. Fill her with that while your penis is in her. Don't even worry about pleasure. Don't worry about ejaculation. Fill her with that until she bursts open. Fill her with that until she's weeping in total trust of consciousness itself. Fill her with that until her body is stamped with the seal of God. Just her cells are, yes, ah! And ladies, raise your hand if you intuit what I'm talking about, whether you've gotten it or not. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Don't settle for less than that from him. So when he's doing whatever he's doing with you, beg him to fuck you open to God. Say, I need you to kill me. I need you to obliterate me. I need you to ravish me open to God. Please take me. And he'll be going, now open me to God, please. I beg you. And let him figure out how the hell to do it. Give him a few months. And the way to do it is what we were talking about before. You use that kind of Tai Chi feeling of her energy and infuse her with the depth of your consciousness, that nothingness. But when you do it through the body, it opens her. And we're going to be doing exercises until we close for the next like hour and a half that are all about that. But in the end, it's just what I said just now. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. I just needed something to do.
Right. Yeah. That's how the masculine is. And that's why the feminine, the feminine is like laying there and you've got your stopwatch out and your breathing methods and your little graph paper, you know, and she's like, forget that. Let's just go back to the old way. That was better than this, you know. It's just like... And sometimes it's worth it. I mean, like, if you have sex, say, 3 times a week, maybe 2 times a week should be practice, and once just fuck her anyway, just so she could, you know, enjoy herself instead of... Also, you have to feel, why aren't you ejaculating? Do you feel a difference in your life when you ejaculate or when you don't?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, as long...
I feel a difference in energy, but I also feel like I can't really be there for her, because if things are growing and I ejaculate, suddenly I just lose all interest.
It's of course.
Like, it's over.
Exactly.
And then I feel bad. I want to be there for her. I want to, you know.
Well, that's a good reason to learn the technique I just told you. Just do that and you won't ejaculate. Exhale, keep your breath out, roll your eyes up, keep the contraction, keep the exhaling out until you start suffocating. You will not ejaculate. Just do that before you start ejaculating, like 20 seconds before you would ejaculate, kind of thing. And you won't ejaculate. But that's just a technical thing to help recirculate your body. The main practice is feeling into her body and opening her, which takes much more nuance and sensitivity and creativity. Love. You're having sex for her sake. If you're not, it's not third stage sex. You should especially have sex when you don't want to open her. The feeling in you, if you need a subjective reading, is, God, I don't want to have sex now, but it would really open her. That's the best time to have sex. And if you have sex well, in the way I was describing, then her whole disposition changes. One sexual occasion like that would last her for several days. I mean, she might want it more than that, but her body would, you know, she'll be walking around the kitchen, she'll be looking at you and just remembering you filling her, of course, as soon as she sees you kind of getting off on it, like, that's when the comes. I'm really attracted to your brother. That's when you gotta go, yeah, but can your brother take you in your ass like this? And then she goes, yes. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then you die.